If you would, let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verses 24 through 27. Verse 24, Matthew 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What do we see here when we look at this parable? We see work being done. We see two scenarios, if you will, where someone is working. The one is building, looking to build on a foundation of rock. And the word means a mass of rock. We are not talking about a little pebble here. We are talking about a rock that is immovable and it is big enough to support what you put on it. The other example is someone who does not care where they build. They're just building a house and they don't care where it's built or what it's built on. Recently, Florida had a hurricane, and if any of you seen the pictures or photos and stuff, there was this one photo of where the sand had just come out from under one house that was on the shoreline there, and the house was just kind of dangling there. The storm came with the rain, and the winds blew, and the flooding came, and the foundation of that house did not stand up to the storm because it could not. That house had not completely fallen. But it obviously was not livable after that storm. It was uninhabitable. Yeah. Here we have a parable by our Lord picturing this type of thing. But let's look at the words in Luke 6 of this same parable. Luke 6, verses 47 through 49. Luke 6. Luke 6, verses 47 through 49. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We see here that the main labor we see here is digging down deep to find the rock for a foundation. This one dug deep, it says. These are who were like this, know that their house will not stand if a storm comes, and they do not have if they do not have a solid foundation. These are indicated in the verse, as these are indicated in the verse, will not stop until they find that rock, that foundation. Yes. The house was in no way what caused the storms with the wind and rain and flooding to not be able to affect it. It was simply the foundation that it was built on. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
The other is that one who has no foundation other than his own building or house. With no foundation, the storm has no problem in tearing it apart. Here Christ is talking about the foundation that a person has, the foundation they are built on. The rock here is Jesus Christ. And as Joe mentioned last week, I believe it was, in Scripture we read in several places that Jesus Christ is the rock. That immovable, unchangeable object that we can place our trust and our hope in. If our trust is in anything else, then our foundation is sand. The storms will come with the rain, the wind, and the flooding. our Lord here in this passage, which in Matthew covers a few chapters, but our Lord said much more than just this parable when he told them this parable. He was referring back to those things he had said previously. So we need to take those into account. And I want to see, why is it that there are some who build on a foundation and some who feel they do not need any foundation at all? I will not include everything in the preceding verses in Matthew from chapter 5 to chapter 7, but I will hit a few highlights. So I want to look at those who are built on a rock and those who are built on sand. So number one, those who are built on a rock. Back in Matthew 5, and we can also read this in Luke 6, but our Lord talks to his disciples and gives us what folks call the Beatitudes. Christ says there is blessings to these he describes here. And keep in mind, this is part of his sayings to his disciples. These are those who are built on a rock. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit. These are those who are beggars. They know they are separated from God without hope in the world, apart from an act of mercy and grace from him, who is full of grace and truth. These people did not start out this way. They did not decide to be this way. They did not will to become this way. These people who are poor in spirit were made to be this way by the one who gives them riches beyond what they could even imagine. It says theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are joint heirs with Christ the rock. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. These beggars, those who are poor in spirit, are ones that God saves. He will bring you to a place where you have nowhere to turn, no one that can help in this situation, and you will begin to beg God to help you. Then we have those who mourn. What do these mourn? They mourn for their corruption, their own deadness. They mourn their sin against God. They mourn their situation as they are born in Adam. They see that what they have done and what they do will in no way gain them favor before God. They mourn that they have put themselves into this place and that God has all the power and the right to damn them in hell forever. This is not a feeling sorry for themselves, such as the world might do, but it is a godly sorrow that worketh repentance.
Yes.
Then we have those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They hunger and thirst after righteousness because they have none. They know if they are to stand before a thrice holy God, they must be righteous as he is righteous. But when they see themselves, they know they will not stand before him on their own. They hunger and thirst for a righteousness that is not their own. It makes them cry out, "Oh, that I might have the righteousness of God." Those who are merciful. These who are merciful are those who have been shown mercy. They know they do not deserve mercy, but God has given them mercy. They remember the pit from whence they was digged. They do not do this perfectly, but by his mighty hand upon them, they know that if God has shown them mercy, he can show mercy to anyone else if it so pleases him. Those who are pure in heart. Pure because they have been given this pure heart, knowing that the heart they bring is deceitful and evil. Mm-hmm. Psalm 118:8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man."
Yes.
God has taught them how high he is and how low man is. He teaches his own directly the following in Matthew 15:18-20. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. I cannot of my own self in any way have a pure heart. I cannot work it up, and I cannot do anything to change the corrupt heart that I'm born with. Only God can create in me a new heart. Then we have the peacemakers. They desire peace with God. They have been given peace with God by Jesus Christ, and they desire to have peace with Him, laying down their weapons against Him. They are shown the sovereign God, that one who does as He pleases, and they know that their fighting against Him is useless. Not only do they desire this for themselves, but knowing who they are by nature, they desire this for others as well. So they want peace for them as well. Knowing that peace only comes through Jesus Christ and nothing of what they do. These who are peacemakers know that their only peace is found in Jesus Christ. For this they stand and can find no other place to do this. They stand on Him being our peace with God. Persecuted for righteousness. They have no righteousness of their own. They are persecuted for the righteousness of Christ. They hold to Christ being the righteousness of God without the law. They are persecuted for this because this is where they stand and can stand no other place except that rock which is the sure foundation. These are they who are reviled and persecuted. These who are reviled not because of their righteousness, their goodness, or anything that to do with them, but because of their holding to the sovereign God in the face of Jesus Christ. These will have great reward, it says. Those who are built on a rock and not built on that rock by their own doing. They are built by God and fixed up upon Christ. Hebrews 3:4 says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Amen. We cannot read this passage and think that we can build anything of any worth. It must be Him that builds it. But we have read that those who hear His word and do them are like one who digs deep, that we read in Luke. They are given it by God to search Him out, although in doing this, He has already found them. He does this to teach them the glories of Christ. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 says, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." If we do anything, it will be by Jesus Christ. We can do nothing on our own. If we think we can or we are looking for our works to gain us something before Him, we are not digging down deep for that rock. So what about those who have built this house on a sand? So number two, those who are built on sand. Sand is that which typifies the works of fallen man. His house is built on nothing but earth. Luke says, like a man without foundation, built a house upon the earth. No foundation whatsoever. Christ speaks of those who do this back in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. 21 through 23. "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity."
Amen. That's right.
They will speak one day to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, we have done all these things, so you must accept us." They will think that they actually could do the works commanded of God on their own. I'm not saying that we do not do works of God. We do works of God. But if we do them, it is because He works in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
But this doing is all because of what Jesus Christ has done.
Yes.
These here will cry out to him and call him Lord, Lord. They will acknowledge him as Lord.
Yep.
But then they begin to speak of what they have done.
Exactly.
What you and I do will in no way be able to withstand the judgment of God, that stormy judgment. Christ also tells us in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." People are too proud to bow down to Jesus Christ as their only hope, their only rock, that one who can withstand the storm for them. They want to seek out what they can do. Christ says that the way to destruction is wide, laid out flat, easy to get in. It's not hard to go through this gate. It's laid flat and wide open. It is easy to find this way to destruction. He says it's broad. There's enough room for everyone. You get the idea of a massive crowd getting in here in whatever way they think is best. Remember our Lord in Capernaum after probably thousands of others left when Christ told them that no one comes to me, that is Jesus Christ, except it were given him of the Father.
Amen.
He then said to the disciples in John 6:67, then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" There are multitudes who find it easy to leave Jesus Christ and go their own way.
Right.
This is the broad way. What do we read in Proverbs 21:2? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Amen.
You have a lot of religions who are certainly stuck on their own way, but it even got to the point that so many people, so many religions are tolerant of other religions. Except for the true religion, I should say. The thought is, as long as you think of God, as long as you talk about God or say God, then you're okay. Let's not make waves over the details. As long as God is involved, then you're okay. But the problem is, God is not involved in this world's religion. Some might say, what makes you think he is in your religion? I can only say I know this because this book tells me so. It says that Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him.
Amen.
If you reject Christ as your righteousness before God, then you reject God. You're on the broad way. Saying Jesus or believing on Jesus is not it. You will bow down to him or you will be you're on the broad way. Your way will carry you to your final death, and that is that broad way. That way that does not look to Christ for what he has done to bring you into communion with him, it looks to those works that you gain for his favor, that you try to do to gain his favor. Those who are building upon the sand, those who have no foundation to weather the storm, will hear these words from Jesus Christ himself, "I never knew you.
Amen.
Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity." The house will have a great fall, never to be recovered again, because there was no foundation. There was no rock. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. For this, we must have a house built on a rock. If we are one of those who have a house whose builder and maker is God, then the foundation of that house is of God. That foundation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ fulfilled, that is, he leveled up or satisfied the law. In Matthew 5:17 we read, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And I think of a dry measuring cup. You know, you fill it up and you have a knife and you kind of level it off at the top and it's perfectly even. You can't get anything else in it. It's done, complete. Nothing else to do. Verse 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Is that by us? This is what Jesus Christ did concerning the law. He leveled it up.
Yes, sir.
He obeyed the law perfectly. This he did because he always pleased the Father. He could do nothing but fulfill the law this way. But he is in fact the righteousness of God without the law. This law was not against Jesus Christ. The law testified of Jesus Christ. What did he do to fulfill the law, to level that law up? He fulfilled the demands of the law by being made a curse and sin for his people. What had to be fulfilled was paying the penalty of that sin against me, that I sinned against the law. The law demanded payment, and Christ fulfilled it. He leveled it up for his people. Justice is satisfied. God is satisfied. Because of what Christ did, God is satisfied with me. I am in him, and he fulfilled it completely. God's people fulfill the law by faith. That is the faith of Christ given to me, which enables me to believe him to the saving of my soul. Romans 3:31, very familiar to us. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We establish or hold up the law by believing who Jesus Christ is and what he has done. I'm seeing some foundation there, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
A sure foundation. A rock that is immovable and vast. I want my building to be built on that.
Yes.
What about you? We are his, bought with a price. We are servants of Jesus Christ, not to the law. We fulfill the law by faith in Christ. Believing what he has done is what satisfied God on our behalf. Believing that what he has done has satisfied God. For us to now think we can do anything to satisfy God on our own is to build upon your own way, and your own way is sand. To keep his sayings is to believe him and what he has done. What he has done is fulfilled the law of God on our behalf. Believing this and knowing him does not make us want to break his law, although we do daily. We do hourly. Believing him and knowing him makes us want to bow down to him and worship him. It makes us want to dig down deep to find that rock. When I think of this passage in Luke where it says, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep, I'm reminded of that message that Mike Walker preached that he titled, The Violent Take It By Force. And if you would, let's turn over to Genesis 32. I want to read that. Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. This is that time when Jacob was going to meet Esau, and this was after the time where he stole the birthright from him, and that is Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. So they're about to go over to see Esau because Esau has returned, but Jacob sends everyone else over first. So Genesis 32, verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jacob. Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. When you meet God, all those who are his will meet God in the face of Jesus Christ, face to face in the gospel. But when you meet him, it will not all be pie in the sky. Jacob wrestled all night, and this is a long time to wrestle with someone. But Jacob knew he needed blessing from this one. When you see him face to face, you will hold on for dear life, as the saying goes. No one will be able to talk you out of it. You will take it by force. This is not saying we force God to do something. We just see here that a man confronted by God on purpose, he causes that man to dig down deep for that foundation. This blessing will come with a limp because he will touch the hollow of your thigh. It was painful for Jacob, and it is painful to all of his people, because he will make you to know who he is and who you are. And I don't mean that you'll have physical pain, although you may have physical pain at the time. I'm talking about you will be poor in spirit. It will make you mourn, and it will make you hunger and thirst after righteousness. But although you are halted, you know by his grace and through Jesus Christ you are blessed. It is the foundation for your soul. And I want to turn to one more place. Turn with me over to James 1. James 1. James 1, starting in verse 17. James 1, verses 17. And that's just after Hebrews. James 1, chapter 17, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We are told here that we should be swift to hear. That is, we should be ready or prompt to hear. Don't be lazy about it. Look for it. Expect it. Be swift to hear his word, the gospel of our salvation. Slow to think, slow to speak, and think about what you're saying, in other words. Slow to wrath, because man's wrath is against God. Wherefore, lay apart all these evil things, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, or that is, the implanted word. Remember the parable of the seed and the sower? That last type of ground, which is a good and honest heart, that's what Christ tells us. That heart that is given by him, that seed falls into that ground and takes root, deep root. But this word will save your soul. If you look in the glass and come away and think you are a pretty good fellow, then you have forgotten what manner of man you are. If you walk away and think that now your works is what matters, then you have forgotten what manner of man you are. We look to that perfect law of liberty. What is that perfect law of liberty? The gospel. Jesus Christ has done it all, and there is nothing else left for me to do. That is a sure foundation. That is a rock that will keep you to the day of Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Dear Lord, apply these words to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.